Hey, are you ready to move your life? I mean, really move it? It's time to turn up the dial on your energy, your health, your sport performance, your happiness, and your relationships. If you want to live with more freedom, more adventure, more passion, more fun, and more success, if you're ready to get your brain in the game and achieve the most out of every area of your life, then it's time to move to live and live to move with your host, Jill Summers.
Hello, you made it, you're here, you are in the right place if you're ready to dial up your life. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching, and this podcast is designed to guide, coach, support, and challenge you to live your life out loud. This is part 5 of the Rudy's Road to Kona series, where we are following Ruth Payne, aka Rudy's, journey on her way to competing in the Ironman World Championships in Kona, Hawaii, on October 14th, 2017. We promise to bring you the real story, not just the fluff or the everything is great part of the journey, but the highs and the lows, the gratitudes and the challenges and the insights along the way, along with some sneak peek looks at her physical and mental training. So welcome back, Rudy.
Thanks.
Great to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Awesome. Bring us up to speed where you are now in your training. Mm-hmm. I know that you have Chattanooga in a week and a couple
Nine days.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the next milestones on mm-hmm. your journey mm-hmm. Getting to Kona. So where are you now and what's the latest?
Okay. Yesterday I went and I saw Carl again, my physical therapist. And I went in and I was like, yeah, the hamstring's feeling pretty good. Foot feels pretty good today. Why am I here?
That's good progress.
It was awesome.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. We did a little bit of work on my shoulders to help loosen them up, which was great. But the end result of that was he said, I'll see you after your race.
Ooh.
Which really took me by surprise. I was like, oh, I you're right. I think I'm okay. Wow. Now, I'm not 100%, and we're still in this healing process, but we've done the work that we need to do together right now that is getting me to this next step. And so that's really, really exciting. I know I have a sense right now how hard I can push and not cause any undue harm. The hamstring will be sore. I don't anticipate that I will be free of any type of feeling in that spot until I rest after Kona.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm learning what I can do, what's smart to do, and where those lines are. And so that's really fun.
Do you feel like you can still challenge yourself, push yourself for the hard limits and keep it safe, keep it healthy?
Yeah, to a point. So I went beyond that point last week, a week ago probably, and so it was a couple of days that I was sore afterwards. And I was like, okay. And he said, all right, well, let's talk about what your power was on the bike during those efforts and what it is when you don't feel anything. And so we talked about that. And so then together we set some limits. And it was like, okay, so I'm not going to do 30-second all-out efforts. Sure, those are the type of efforts that will produce a faster speed, more fitness in the long run. But that's not what I'm going for right now. I would love to. It feels good. It's fun. Feels good in terms of endorphins and all of those mm-hmm. things. And it's fun to get stronger. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't bode well for the hamstring. So I'm just not going to do those. But can I push? I mean, I believe that in Chattanooga, I am going to race differently. The idea is that I'm going to enjoy myself and have a good time, and I will smile a lot. But I'm not going to push the limits. I just know that for sure. I have to keep telling myself that because you get excited and you think, well, and it,
how are you going to do that?
Well, a lot of it is ego too.
Yeah, like, let's talk about
that. I'm looking at, okay, so something really hilarious is that my age group is the last swim wave.
Oh, it's always the worst.
So what's hilarious, I think this is funny, is like, I mean, I really shouldn't say this out loud. I have.
But now you're going to.
But now I'm
going to
say it to the public, too. Right. Which is, I could be in last place. I could come in last.
Right? She's laughing. She's like, has this huge smile on her face. Most people would be like, I'm not even going to show up if I have the risk of coming in last place.
You know, but I don't care. I'm going to Kona. You said Rudy's Road to Kona. Uh-huh. And lately I've been like, holy cow. I'm going to Kona. Like, this is still, it really is a dream. It really is a dream. So, I'm coming last. I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is I'm going. And I get to participate. That's a big deal.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of joy in that right now for me, especially because I was hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't run after I was riding. You know?
So this is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
That you've worked through that injury and you can show up in Chattanooga and be in the last wave.
Yeah.
Could potentially be last.
Yeah. I don't plan on it. I mean, I really do feel like I'm going to be able to give something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exciting,
right,
too. But that's where I do have to be careful because it's exciting and I do like to race.
And if you're behind,
right,
it's easier to put on the gas, mm-hmm, and try to get caught up,
mm-hmm,
with those in
front.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. So I will set an intention. I haven't specifically done that. Maybe this will happen in this moment right now. But I will set an intention of some sort that will keep me holding back.
Okay.
Because it is fun, but it's also ego and it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it. I don't care. I do care about what place I'm going to be in, but I don't care. And so it's, you know.
I'm curious your thoughts, your take, your insights on how we as competitive athletes, there's the word competitive,
mm-hmm,
how we are able to move through our races, remain competitive, because we're in a race, and not get swept away by ego. So I think ego can do a lot of damage in some cases, makes us do too much, makes us make bad decisions and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But it also keeps us in a competitive place. How do we balance that?
Mm-hmm. So what has been happening lately for me in my training is we talked about this last week and the week before about suffering and pain and the difference between the two, and then Linda reminded us about how when I smile a lot or I'm focused outwardly that takes some energy away from the focus of the race and such. And so as long as I can find that place that is, I'm attentive to what my body can do in the moment in terms of its health and the healing, okay? So I've got to focus on being in that place. And as I do that, as I keep coming back to that, okay, then I actually can let go of the ego, of having to be in this place or that place or at this pace or at this speed, and I'm going to be in this moment. And quite honestly, that's how I want to race forever. Okay.
So that sounds like mindful. You're being mindful. Do you think that you can be mindful and competitive?
I think that I can be my most competitive if I am mindful. Yes.
So we don't necessarily have to be, entrenched in ego?
I don't believe that we do.
Okay.
I don't at all.
I think that's a very interesting distinction. I think that's a confusion for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Because, for instance, this is just so cool to me. There are lots of things going on. So I'm running today, and I'm doing the intervals I'm doing. I'm going 5 minutes strong, 5 minutes easy, and then I'm going to walk for 30 seconds. Okay? And so I'm doing this, and I'm really excited because I can run strong, mm-hmm. which I haven't been able to do for a while. So that just feels great, okay? And running easy is so fun. Like, it's like, oh, I get to relax for a minute and be here. And then, on a side note, during my 30-second walk, I'm imagining the aid stations at the race,
mm-hmm.
okay? I'm imagining, this is really great. I'm going to drink water, then I'm going to drink Coke, then I'm going to drink Gatorade, and probably maybe just a gulp of each. I don't know how much, because it sounds like a lot. And then I'm going to drink water again to wash out the sugar. And that's my 30 seconds, and I'm back running strong again. And so that was a fun, really fun to imagine that and see that, okay? But back to the running. As I'm running, my mind's going somewhere else. Okay, maybe I'm thinking about catching that person ahead of me, or who's that riding by? I'm on the trail, riding the other direction. And then I'm like, wait, where you are is right here. Looking down at the path in front of you, keeping your stride in check and your arms in check and your form, okay? And that's where I wanna be. And if I'm there, the energy, I can smile all I want. I'm really happy in this place. And I feel good. And I'm gonna be most efficient here, okay? So I do need to look up occasionally so I don't run into somebody or whatever, but I'm coming right back to this mindful place. Something I learned from Siri when I was out at a camp in Colorado was when you are running, if you look up, you automatically start to stand up and you actually lose some of your efficiency. So you want to be looking at the ground, so you know, this much ahead of you, okay, and stay in it, okay? So as long as I'm mindful, I'm going to be most efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's great. I could imagine that with Chattanooga being 9 days away,
mm-hmm.
and although you're going into it knowing you're not planning on going your hardest because it's not your A race,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would imagine, though, that there's possibly some fear coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Well, I would say that there's some fear, constantly fighting this fear of coming in last place.
Got it.
Okay? Or not placing in some, like, way that, to me, is respectable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Exactly.
Oh, what does that mean to you?
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to say out loud what number I think is respectable, because as I've thought about it, because I do, I have this in my head. I think, oh, yes, I will run at this, and even if I don't try that hard, I will bike at this, and I can swim hard because I'm okay.
Okay.
I came up with the numbers. I was like, that's fine. I'm perfectly fine with that. And I'm like, what is that about? Like, I have a judgment. Like, you have to get X, you have to finish an X time in order to be whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working with that.
Yeah.
I'm working with that. So that, I think, then goes back to this overall experience lately that I have had of realizing that there has been this underlying fear that I am not sure I was quite conscious of. And that is, this is going to be challenging to uncover, but it has to do with my identity. And when we when you and I first talked about doing these podcasts, I was like, I'm not sure I want to do it because I mean, you want to talk to some, I'm sure I'm supposed to go to Kona, but I haven't felt good lately. I've had this injury. Like, what if I don't go? Mm-hmm. Like, you still want to talk to me? Mm-hmm. Like, who am I? Mm-hmm.
Who am I to share my story?
Well, I mean, I was just thinking, who am I? Like, I was seeing myself. I am a great athlete. I have become a great, I qualified for Kona. So I must be X or something. And I'm laughing because it's like, what are you doing to yourself? Like, you love to swim, bike, and run. That's what you do. Like, and so your why is that you're doing what you love. And if you can keep doing what you love, that's the only thing that's really important to you. And becoming in the process, learning more about yourself. But I had this like great fear, like because I thought I was capable. And it's not that I don't think I'm not capable, okay, of doing very well in Kona. I know that this year it's not going to be the way I thought it was going to be. Because I haven't been able to train the way I thought I could. So I've been kind of dealing with this whole identity thing and who am I? And so I've had this, like, recently this thought came to me that, okay, well, first I had a friend who is a competitor who said to me, he was like, I'm really sorry about your injuries, blah, 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 but you'll go back. And I was like, I don't know if I'll go back. Like, I wasn't even thinking that I would train again and try to qualify again. And like, what does that really mean? And after that conversation with him, I thought, I would love to go. I would love to keep competing. Mm-hmm. This is really fun. This is fun. And so I started thinking, okay, cool. That was freeing, but then what was funny to me was it was almost like going to Kona and just getting there and crossing the finish line is like doing my first Ironman. I remember before the first Ironman, it was like, people made these funny jokes about first timers, like we just want to put like bubble wrap on ourselves, like 3 weeks ahead of time. All year you want to, so no one, don't touch me. You know, I don't want to trip stepping off the curb, you know, like I just want to get there. And I started feeling that way about Kona. If I could just get there and finish, then I can. And Linda helped me. I don't remember what she said, but I feel like it was basically, let's be in the moment. Where are we right now? I don't want to wish anything. Away. Mm-hmm. So I described it as having a monkey on my back. I just gotta get this freaking monkey off my back. I'll be done. No one will have any expectations of me and I can just have fun. And I thought, wow, isn't that funny? And this is a part where I wish someone could be inside my head and really tell me what's going on, because I'm trying to unpack it. I'm trying to figure it out. But basically, I feel like I could... It's possible to self-sabotage, right?
Of course.
And it's like, huh, that's really, really interesting. All of this stress and this pressure you put on yourself, you have to be X or whatever. And so I said to her, all right, so what crystal deals with fear? Mm. Tell me what crystal deals with fear. I want to, you know. And so she said, oh, the rose crystal. I'm like, okay, great. I need those. You know, she's like, all right, I got them. So she got them ready for me and stuff. And she's like, they're ready for you. And I was like, cool, cool. And so I just, you know, I just sit with them. And honestly, it's as if, in a way, it's dissipated quite a bit.
Don't you think just by increasing your awareness...
Totally.
To something that you're experiencing on the inside, giving it a voice,
mm-hmm.
either to yourself or even more powerful out loud, you decrease its power.
Yeah.
Just by saying, you know what, I have these fears that are coming up. Mm-hmm. This is what they look like, A, B, C, D. Mm-hmm. And then you even hear yourself and go, oh. Right. Well, that's sort of silly.
Yeah. Well, and then you be gentle.
And be gentle, yes. So I had this coach, and I still laugh about it today, partly because it was about laughing, but she had this amazing technique that she would say, okay, well, what's coming up? What are the fears that are coming up? She says, well, what if we just laughed at them for a while? What if we went, oh my God, that's so funny. I can't believe. Oh my God. Can you believe that you would think that, like, this could be the scariest thing in life? Ah!
Exactly.
And really just giving it this this levity.
Yes.
And that goes back to your kindness.
Yes.
And
yes,
being
yes.
gentle.
Yes.
But then also giving it a voice, like going, uh-huh. And it's real and I do need to pay attention to it. Because the more we shove it down, the bigger it can grow.
Right. So, yes, exactly. And it could cause stress in your hamstring or maybe in your foot.
Or in your shoulders. Yeah.
Right. So there's a great, there was a retreat that Pema Chodron did called Smile at Fear. And it's a book by another Buddhist teacher, Smile at Fear. Mm. So Linda helped me to remember that.
Nice.
Right? And so I love monkeys. I mean, aren't monkeys cute
they're
as hell?
They're adorable.
You know? I mean, they're so fun. They hang from trees. They move fast. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, actually, if you want to hang on my back, that's cool. But I'd like to see you too. Why don't you run with me? You know?
That's so together. Cool. Yes. Listeners, did you get that? That's really cool. And you know what I love about that? It's like it's embracing the fear and not being afraid of the fear. So so we get afraid of the fear and that compounds the situation.
Yeah.
But if we go, oh, and there you are, let's chat. Mm-hmm. Come with me. Let's figure this out.
And what a gift for me to have someone like Linda.
Mm.
Right? I mean, she sat with me that evening. That I started spewing about this and did such a great job of holding it and then helping me move through it.
Lovely.
Yeah. That is exactly what I needed.
Yes.
And she's done that multiple times in the athletic iron journey.
It's nice to not have it swished away because it's uncomfortable for the other people to hear it, right?
Mm-hmm,
for them to stand in the fire with you or, you know, and just watch and be the observer, the witness and go, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't completely get it because I haven't been there, but I get the power of that fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so where do you feel you are now in that continuum of the fear?
Well, like I said, I feel like it's dissipated quite a bit. I mean, I sent you that email, I don't know if it's a week and a half ago or so, because it was fresh and I wanted to remember. But since then, I'm like, oh, I really haven't put much thought into that.
Huh.
Yeah. Moving on.
What would you say your strengths are? So I'm working with some Ironman athletes right now who are preparing to do Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in
10 days.
10 days. Mm-hmm. And so their fear is elevated. Mm-hmm. And one of the techniques that I like to use is, first of all, this fear comes from a very archaic reptilian part of our brain that really is just trying to keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of old school, but it's like it's kind of like our mom and dad when we were young, and they wanted to just keep us in that bubble wrap that you referenced earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And the brain is like, but you could die out there, or you could get hurt, or what if you come in last, or what if you put in all this effort and it still doesn't work, and you don't make it by the cutoff time, or, you know, it comes in all these different sentences, right? And so one of the things I coach the athletes in is, let's just recognize that it's coming from this reptilian part of our brain that's trying to keep us safe. And what if we say thank you?
Right,
and
exactly.
And go, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you for your love of me
to
try and keep me safe.
Yeah.
And then, let's not stop there. You know, let's go into, and What am I excited about? Mm. And what are my strengths? Because mm. when we focus on those things, mm-hmm. then there's less room in the brain for the mm. reptilian mm-hmm. side to be so loud and so mm-hmm. strong. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, what would you say your strengths are mm. in the swim? We'll start there. I'll help you break it down.
Strengths in what way?
A strength could sound like, I have great endurance.
Okay. Actually, thank you for giving me a moment to think.
Yeah, because I just threw that on you. What the listeners don't know is she has no idea where I'm going, what I'm going to ask. So she's kind of, she has to think quickly.
So.
And she's not drinking coffee.
Yesterday, I had this swim. And I was doing all of these very fast intervals with little rest. And so it's so challenging, and you start to get frustrated and like, when is my rest? When do I get to rest? And you're like, nope, keep going. And you're like, ugh. And you're just trying to grind it out, and you're like all serious and you're scrunched up and you're doing all these things. And I remember our conversation from a few podcasts ago about energy in the water, and I started thinking about being light mm. again, okay? And so I was doing these 16 by 25 yard intervals on the 30 seconds. So every 30 seconds I had to go again. So if it took me 20 seconds, I had 10 seconds rest. If it took me 22 seconds, I had 8 seconds rest. It just depended. You do 3 fast, 1 easy, okay? So I'm doing these intervals, and so I did 2 sets of 16, and so I'm on my second set of 16. I have 8 left, and I'm like, ah, man, I wish this was over. And then I was like, listen, just give what you got. And I tell my athletes this all the time. Just give what you got. Like, let go. Who cares? All you got is what you got.
Yeah. It sounds so soft, though.
Yeah. It just give what you got. And so I was like, just give what you got. It's okay. If you come in at 21 and not 19, that's okay. I'm okay with that. And I'm like, okay. So I relaxed and I came in at 19. I was just as fast.
Hmm.
Like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is my strength? This, yeah. And I wrote that down right away in my Training Peaks for the race next Sunday. Don't get uptight.
Mm.
I'm using negatives. But be free. Remember how it feels to swim strong and happy.
Mm.
And how much more efficient you are. How much happier you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll swim just as fast, maybe faster than if you freaked out.
Yeah, exactly.
And was like, I gotta give everything I got. I gotta go.
Especially in the water.
Yeah.
If I may reflect, certainly one of your strengths is your ability to be very mindful and to catch your thoughts and your actions before they get really spiraled out of control, and you bring it back to being mindful and go, oh yeah, that's right.
Sometimes it takes time, especially in the pool. We'll see what happens out in the river as we're swimming upstream. But in the pool, it's so easy to get distracted because you're just going back and forth. You don't have to worry about anybody else. And so it is good practice.
What would you say a strength is that you have on the bike?
I've got really strong legs. I mean, physically, and so that's really, it's great to feel that. And what I've been practicing is I've been listening to Bob Babbitt's every day. He's doing the countdown to Kona, and it's like a 10 second to 30 second snippet from a champ or a former Ironman World champion participant even on their experience and stuff. And Rinny's from 2014 when she won, and she was 14 and a half minutes back. She was in 10th place or something, and she won. And she said, I had just aimed at competing within myself. I knew if I redlined, it was going to be disastrous. So I stayed within myself. Well, this is Ironman number 7 for me. And I'm like, right, stay within. Like, it's like I didn't remember that the last time or something. Mm-hmm. Especially not in April. I redlined, I think. So.
When you were racing in Florida?
Yeah. Yeah, I got my best bike time ever, but.
But did that blow up your run?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean.
What's the saying? There's no such thing as a good run after a. There's no such thing as a good bike if you blew up the run.
Yeah, yeah, basically. You know, who cares what your time was on the bike if you can't finish it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a strength is physical strength and also learning how to find that space, the right place to hold.
Okay. Yeah. What would you say a strength is on the run?
I think that I, when I run within myself, and this is it, right? If I can continue to stay mindful, and which it's a lot more comfortable to run within yourself than it is to run beyond yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So just if I remain comfortable, or as they say, comfortably uncomfortable, then my form is great. I have good running form.
Mm-hmm.
And that, that makes a big difference. And which just really allows me to be happy and really to like exude joy mm-hmm. out there. And I love that. It's so fun.
That's
I
so
mean,
great.
I get a ton from people around me. I mean, they are, I wish my thing said Rudy. It's going to say Ruth.
Mm.
But I wish it said Rudy, because everyone's cheering you on, and it's great that they can read your. I make sure that my name is that you can see it.
Yeah,
because it means a lot when people call your name.
I have a feeling that there could be some athlete listeners right now who are talking or hearing you talk about having fun out there and smiling and laughing and. You know, that's being in your happy place, and they're like, what the heck are you talking about?
Mm.
What would you want to say about that?
I would need to know what the question is. Like, what am I talking about? What does that mean?
So I think that there's probably athletes that, here it is. Athletes that feel like this is, they have to be in their hardcore place or in their angry place or in their cutthroat place in order to accomplish what this Ironman thing all stands for.
Mm-hmm. If that's what, it's hard for me to understand that. But if that is helps them to be the people they want to be, that they feel is their best selves, so be it.
Yeah. In the last couple of interviews, we talked about the difference between pain and suffering, and how you can challenge yourself to get into that place more. Anything new come up for you about that in the last couple of weeks since we talked about it last?
Yeah, I think, I laughed at this as we chatted about it recently. Which was, well, the reality is I'm actually not going to purposefully attempt to suffer. I mean, if the suffering happens, when the suffering happens, I will deal with it as needed. But I'm going to hold back, and because I want to care for my body, so that I can be the best possible place I can be in on October 14th. And so it actually means I get to, I'll actually, which is, I find very interesting, feel more free in racing and in training. Well, actually, I believe that if I feel more free, then I'll actually do better than I've ever done. Okay? So I'm not convinced that I'm going to do better than I've ever done in these next couple of races because of just the lack of training, because of the injury. But regardless, I'm kind of saying, I love the fact that I get to do this every year and I get to try new things. And this is trying a new thing, okay? Because last year it was go to that place and stay there. Well, that was really painful. It was suffering, and I didn't hurt myself. Well, maybe I did, but it was really tough. I mean, and so I'm going to be one step back from that, or two steps. Who knows?
At Chattanooga.
Steps. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and probably in Kona. Kona's just going to be hot. Mm. It's going to be tough regardless. So I'm just really looking forward to being a couple steps back. I need to care for my body, and because that's my goal. My goal is to be in these places, and not to. I do not have an outcome goal. Believe me, I wanted to be top 10 in both races, but that's not my goal anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to keep work on that, because as I start to feel better, I'm like, ooh, maybe I could push. And I'm just not going to do that. I might do it in Kona. I don't know yet. Not yet. But I keep getting these glimpses like, well, maybe I could. It's very attractive.
Well, and don't you think too, as you focus more and more consciously on your performance, in other words, what you're actually doing during each of the sports, that increases your outcome goal or the success of your outcome goal.
It does increase the success probably.
Oftentimes,
yes.
we do the flip as athletes. We get so focused on what we want the outcome to be, the time, the place, and so forth, and we then freak ourselves out. Yeah. We lose focus on what do I need to do in order to get there. I need to eat well. I need to drink well. I need to pedal smoothly. I need to breathe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted so bad to come in first place in Florida. I did a half Ironman in April, and I really wanted to come in first place. Now, I was injured going into it, but I still gave everything. There was it's interesting.
How did that work for you?
It didn't work very well at all. I mean, I did really well on the bike. I kicked ass.
I have a great story about that. I was in Ironman, Wisconsin. It might have been 08 or 09. And I'm out on the run, and it's maybe 4 miles, 5 miles in, and there's this gentleman that's doing like a walk run in front of me, but he was really hurting. We're only 4 or 5 miles in. And I kind of do I was doing a walk run ratio, and I got beyond him. And so he's behind me, and I could hear him talking with somebody next to him, who's another athlete. And the racer, I mean, this dude was like athletic, he was tall, he was trim. I mean, he was like the picture of what you think of an Ironman athlete. And he was really hurting. And he said to the guy, he goes, yeah, But I had a really awesome bike. I think I like set a bike record. I did like a 4:30 or something, and I'm thinking, well, you may have, but I did like a 6:30, and I'm in front of you.
Right.
Did you forget this was a triathlon? Of course, I didn't say any of this. And I'm a little uh-huh. you know, nervous even saying this like out to the uh-huh. world because people can hear this. But it really was in my mind. I'm like, yeah. but did you forget?
Yeah.
Because there's no such thing
yeah.
as a really great race if you blew up
yeah.
and you couldn't finish.
Yeah.
So fast yeah. forward, and I mm-hmm. see him on the second loop, and he's still walking, and now his girlfriend or wife, somebody is walking next to him, and he's really, really yeah. hurting, and he can't even do a walk jog.
Yeah.
He's only walking. And now he's mentally
yeah.
really fried, and yeah. he was unable to you know, go much faster than that, and she's trying to talk him through it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he finished. I yeah. don't know if he, you know, mm-hmm. made it or not. But the point is you're right.
It's
hard to mm-hmm. sometimes hold back, and mm-hmm. even when we're feeling really good, we mm-hmm. want to yeah. go for it.
Yeah.
So as we're starting to wrap things up here, I want to hear what your thorn, your bud, and your rose mm-hmm. are at this point.
Mm.
So the thorn is what's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The bud is what's a celebration,
mm.
and the bud is what are you looking forward to, and the rose is what's a celebration.
Okay. So.
In any particular order, it doesn't matter.
Sure. So I mean, if I think about the challenge right now. Honestly, simply is just preparing to get in the car and drive to Chattanooga and make sure I have everything. You know, starting to make lists and make sure that everything is ready to go. So I can't say that right now I feel totally stressed about it because I have been planning, which is somewhat new for me. I mean, I plan, but I usually feel a little bit more stressed right now. And maybe part of that it has to do with letting go of outcome.
Mm, yeah.
And just being like, wow, I get to race. I get to have fun without any pressure.
Yeah.
And that, well, we say without any pressure, but of course, you know, I still have that those voices, but a lot less.
But we don't you think we have to have some of that? Otherwise, you wouldn't show up.
Right. Yeah.
It would be hard to even show
that.
Up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So okay. So that's one of the challenge. Bud. So something. I mean, I'm looking forward to being on the race course. Mm. I am so. I'm going to the 70.3 World Championships. It's kind of been this like hidden little treasure thing because I'm going to Kona.
Right.
You know? But I'm going to a championship race.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, how cool is this? People from all over the world are going.
So exciting.
I mean,
I'm like getting all jazzed up inside just
so
thinking
cool.
about it.
It's yeah. Like, it's super cool. Which means I really could come in last place because it's all the best athletes.
Right.
I mean, so that's really fun.
Right.
I mean, that is just really, really fun. Lots of cool stuff happening. I'm excited to. I'm meeting up with a friend to do part of the ride, so we can check out Lookout Mountain and just be in the beauty too. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, the first thing that comes to mind with the celebration
mm-hmm.
is my partnership with Linda. I mean, I just think she is incredibly supportive. Like, having had that conversation with her about fears and the monkeys recently, and her sitting with me and helping me kind of work through that, and then her continual affirmation and reaffirmation of me doing what I love, like her, like, this is what you love.
Mm.
Keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't. I really feel very, very grateful.
You know, that came out loud and clear on the last
mm-hmm.
interview.
Mm-hmm.
And for listeners who have not heard that one, go back and listen to
mm-hmm.
number
She's
four.
Really funny.
Yeah. And just so supportive.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And supportive, you know, sometimes support looks like, yeah, it's okay, go do what you want. But it's beyond that.
Oh, yeah, she's invested.
Right, invested is a beautiful word. Mm-hmm. And that touched me, and I continue to go back to that on a regular basis and look at, you know, how I can get more of that in my life and in my relationship.
Yeah, beautiful. And she's unable to go. Okay, because...
To Chattanooga.
Yep, because she has her comprehensive exams for her PhD that week. So it's actually quite perfect because she won't have me around to distract her and, you know, be a pain. That's my last name. So anyway.
I'm just kidding. That's great. What's a song you have for us for this week?
Okay, so we'll go back to Jack Johnson for a second.
Okay,
so I turn on Jack Johnson radio on Pandora, and all the music is so good, and you hear Dispatch. You ever listen to Dispatch? Dispatch is awesome. I was like, you know what? I want to listen to some Dispatch music. So I pull up Dispatch because I've learned about them maybe over 10 years ago. And so I'm like, I'll just find some familiar music. Well, they have a new album that came out this year, so I've been listening to that. And it's awesome.
Mm.
It is super powerful, intense, really, really amazing music. Okay, so I haven't even unpacked it. Okay, but the song is Begin Again.
Okay.
Okay. Now, again, I haven't even looked up the words, but what I hear, it's about, how things in life get you down, okay? But you can begin again.
Mm.
You can begin again. You can begin again. And he says it a million times.
Mm.
And it's, he says it awesome, too. Like, he repeats a lot of things on a lot of songs, and it never gets old.
That's great.
Yeah.
So let's go out of this interview today. We're listening to this song.
Awesome.
Begin Again.
Excellent.
Fantastic. Thank you, everybody, for being here with us today. I'm going to challenge you, like I always do in each of these calls, in a different way. Your challenge today is take a look at a thorn, a bud, and a rose in your life at this time, and give yourself the opportunity to celebrate, bring mindfulness to it, bring some breath to it, and you know, that thorn might be a fear that you have. Breathe into it. Give it a voice. You know, discover it. Tell a new story around it. And celebrate as well. If you're listening to this from my website, please be sure to add your name to the notification list so we can let you know when the next podcast is ready for you. That you'll find that in the box in the top right corner. And if you're listening to this from iTunes, feel free to go to my website, jillmsummers.com. Click on the podcast page and you can add your name to that as well. You do not want to miss this ongoing series. We're going to talk to Rudy when she gets back from Chattanooga and find out how everything went for her there. And then things begin to certainly wind up as Kona gets closer and closer to us. Thank you again for being here. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching. So grateful to have you here. We'll see you on the next podcast.
Night after night, with the sound of the light that comes from down below. The street sweepers clean St. Augustine, and tired they head for home. You can begin again, honey, you can begin again. Holding it all with her hat and her shawl, she sways in the hall above. In the room for a piece of the moon, she braces against the wall. But night after night, with the sound and the light, she sings and whispers, please. Day after day, he lies in the way of his life that was meant to be. You can begin again, honey, you can begin again. You can begin again, honey, you can begin again.
Hey.
says, don't you disappear. Stay awake, my dear, 'cause you can begin again. Honey, you can begin again. You can begin again. Honey, you can begin again.
Thanks for being with us today. We invite you to join us on our mission to move people forward and upward. Go to JillMSommers.com, that's JillMSommers.com, for more information and to listen to other inspiring podcasts. And remember to do one thing today that moves your life forward, which impacts others around you to do the same.